For our scripture reading this evening, let us turn to Proverbs 4, the verses 1 through 10, and to the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Ephesians, chapter 6, the verses 1 through 10. But first, from the Old Testament, Proverbs 4, the verses 1 through 10. And there we read God's holy word. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings. And the years of thy life shall be many. Ephesians chapter 6, the first 10 verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as man-pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he is bond or free. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So far the reading of the Word of God. Congregation, the portions we read this evening are related to the fifth commandment. On these and other portions in scriptures as derived of what we read in Lord's Day 39. Lord's Day 39. What doth God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience. And also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Beloved congregation, tonight the sermon will be about the fifth commandment. And children, maybe you think that only you will be addressed tonight, since it will be about children's obedience to their parents. Well, that is not the case. Of course, you will hear about what God requires from you in relation to your parents. And maybe you also know that God's commandments are very broad. The fifth commandment is not only about the relationship between children and parents, but also about the relationship between you and other persons who are in authority over you. The fifth commandment is a mirror for all of us. And the purpose of this mirror is to look into it and to discover who we are. And looking into this mirror, you will discover that your flesh is opposed to this commandment, as it is to all the commandments of the Lord. And at the same time, it is a rule for a life of obedience to the Lord. After regeneration, we love to obey the Lord and to do His will. This also involves the fifth commandment. And tonight we want to pay attention to the verbal text of the commandment, namely, honor thy father and thy mother. And from there we will see what this means for both children and parents. The relationship with the family determines our relationship with church, school, and society, since the fifth commandment is about all kinds of authority as well. God explicitly calls us to honor our parents because the family is the foundation of human society. And sadly, this commandment is often misused by those who are in authority. For instance, by parents who force their children to obey, pointing to the fifth commandment. However, this commandment is not about the right of parents to do obedience. It's about the obligations of children. And they are obliged to honor their parents, which is not the same as their parents having a right to obedience. God is the lawgiver. And to children, He commands, honor thy father and thy mother. Not parents, but God has right to it. What does it mean to honor? To honor denotes something weighty. When used for a person, it indicates that a person's honor and respect are important. For instance, in our days, an honorable person is someone who is famous. He's highly respected and honored for what he does. Well, God says in the fifth commandment that parents are honorable persons as well. And before we further study the words of the fifth commandment, we should pay attention to its position. It is the first commandment of what we call the second table of the Decalogue, the 10 words. What is the summary of the two tables? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The first table that comprises the first four commandments is about serving God. The second table, which comprises the other six commandments, is about serving my neighbor. If it comes to my love toward my neighbor, then my parents are mentioned first. My parents are my first neighbors. And we should never forget this. It's good to ask attention for our neighbors far away. It's good to have care for your neighborhood and for your neighbor next door. However, Don't forget your father and your mother, regardless your and their age. It's not good if we turn our back on our parents. And sadly, this happens. There's much grief among parents, but also among children who are forgotten by their parents. Let us never forget these people. But there's something more that makes the fifth commandment unique, which is also mentioned by the authors of the Heidelberg Catechism. The fifth commandment is, as it were, a bridge between the two tables of the law. The first table is about loving God, and the second table is about loving my neighbor. The fifth commandment is actually about both. God has the right to govern and to rule our lives. And it pleases the Lord to do so by means of man, namely by our parents and those in authority. The late minister Kohlberger from Eberfeld in Germany says that our parents are the hands of God. Parents are no substitute of God, but it pleases God to govern us through our parents. And therefore we hear in the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. We serve God by honoring our parents. And maybe I am now touching a raw nerve for some of you. And I understand if some are shivering when they hear about parents to be the hands of God. Maybe you shiver, since there is no love at home, but only selfishness. And there are homes where parents are misusing their authority. I hope to say something about this further on in the sermon. Though misuse of authority is abominable, this does not renounce the right use of it, namely the biblical use. And if we try to focus on biblical authority, then we meet another problem that lives in our hearts, namely that by nature we don't want any authority over us at all. We are commanded to honor our father and mother, but a little child shows what we are by nature. We don't want any authority. We want to be free. We want to live without someone who governs and rules our lives. We don't accept their God-given authority. And this resistance is deeply rooted in our hearts. And it is tangible in our society. We live in a society where people are encouraged to develop their ego. Being raised in a family, you should be free and independent to make your own choices. And according to public opinion, you should not be affected by any philosophy or religion. Several parenting books emphasize that parents should encourage children to develop independently. As parents, you should not choose for them, but they should choose by themselves. And parents should only coach them regardless of their age. And a child will develop well to the extent he can make his choices independently. And the focus is on the self-expression of the child. And the meddling of parents is harmful. Parents should not impose their opinion about life and morality. But this is wrong. Not only because it hurts the healthy and biblical development of the personality of a child, but even more because it opposes the essential authority of a parent over a child. And this is contrary to the biblical view of the development of a child. Our children need to develop coram deum, That is, in the presence of God. We are created to glorify God. And we have to teach our children in how to live in the fear of the Lord. For this purpose, God has set people in authority over us to protect and to care for us. And the call to let children free in what they want is a slogan that originates in hell. Where did the opposition against authority start? In paradise. There it began that man did not want any authority. And we want to be like God. And the seed of rebellion dwells in our hearts. And therefore we need to teach children to obey. Children, it pleases the Lord when you listen to your dad and mom. God's word says that parents have authority over their children. They are called by the Lord to bear responsibility for you. And parents, that is quite something. Because this means that you are called to radiate God's authority. What can be said about the character of God's authority? Well, His authority radiates all His attributes. His authority is determined by His goodness, long-suffering, and love. God's authority is for our good. This should also be said of parents toward their children. You are called to seek the well-being of your child. And like we are called to obey the Lord, so our children are called to obey their parents. I think that the word authority has a negative connotation for many. Yet, Scripture speaks very positive about authority and about obedience. Why? Because authority, as meant in the fifth commandment, is embedded in a relationship. And it is important to have a clear view of this. To honor your father and your mother means that you stay in a special relationship with them. To honor means that you give what you owe to them. To honor means that you uphold respect. In the Heidelberg Catechism we read that I show all honor, love and fidelity. And the words honor, love and fidelity are relationship words. This is about harmony in relationship. The fifth commandment is not about blind obedience, about rule is rule and law is law. To honor your father and mother is about relationship, about communion. And communion embraces the reciprocal aspect of the fifth commandment. We should keep in mind the prelude of the Ten Commandments. I think that the children know this prelude by now. I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. God has made a covenant with His people, and He has taken the people of Israel as His bride. He is the deliverer of His people. He sets His people free. He has given parents the responsibility to lead and guide their children in the covenant. The Lord wants you to serve Him with love, to stay in the close communion with God. And therefore, He has given people who have authority over you. Since God wants to govern your lives through these weak and sinful means. We are brought in a family relationship. And it pleases the Lord if we demonstrate honor, love, and fidelity to them, since their authority comes from God. And the Lord wants us to obey Him. And there's no redemption without obedience. Obedience is love in true form. Obedience is love in true form. And therefore, parents and children, the source of keeping the fifth commandment is love, as it is of keeping all the commandments. Parents, why should you teach your children to obey? Because you love them. Do you sense that? And children, why should you obey your parents? Because you love them. Do you sense that this aspect is lacking in our postmodern society? It's all about loving yourself. And loving yourself is the basis for your self-development. But God says, my love is the only true foundation. And a healthy development of self is only possible if we live from the love of God. That means that I obey the Lord and His commandments. And I can only develop well if I honor my father and my mother. Parents and children are in a special relationship. A mother has a special relationship with her children. We read in Isaiah 49 verse 15, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? The bond between a mother and a child is very strong. It's a bond of love. And of course, this is also applicable to fathers and their children, though this bond is a bit different. In general, a mother is characterized by her compassion and comfort. Who are you for your children? Our children need a listening ear and good advice. They need to develop in a spiritual environment. Do they find this with you? And since God governs the lives of children through the hands of parents, we owe them allegiance. And therefore we should show all honor, love, and fidelity to them. In Proverbs you read many instructions regarding the behavior of children toward parents. Proverbs 1 verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of my father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Chapter 15, verse 20, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. And from the portion we read, chapter 4, verse 1, hear ye children the instruction of your father, and attend to no understanding. It pleases the Lord when we obey parents, and we dishonor the Lord when we disobey. In Deuteronomy 21, we read what should be done with stubborn and rebellious children. Children who disobey on purpose, they shall be brought out of the city, and he shall be stoned with stones. That was God's commandment in the old dispensation. Nowadays, we don't punish children in this manner anymore, happily not. However, the instruction from Deuteronomy displays the seriousness of God's displeasure about a rebellious child. It's a serious matter when we disobey our parents. Do you look into the mirror? Have you and I honored our parents? Have we loved them? And have we expressed our fidelity to them? These questions need to be answered by all of us. And you, children and young people, What about you? It's a blessing if you have a healthy relationship with your parents. But was it always good? Did we never fall short to this commandment? If you disobeyed, if you did not honor them, then did you confess your shortcoming? This is also part of honoring your father and mother. We need to apologize when you do wrong. And as parents, you should always accept their apology. But also the other way around. You need to confess your weaknesses if you were unreasonable and lost your temper. But maybe a teenager counters, my parents are so old-fashioned, they don't understand me. They say no to everything. And they're always negative about the things I propose. And maybe a parent sighs and answers, my teenager does not listen to me anymore. Well, let me say two things. First of all, to parents. Do you really know the world your children live in? Do you put effort in understanding them? Some issues may be of minor importance to you. Well, they are very important to a teenager. Try to be reasonable with your children and don't say no without seeking to understand them. And teenagers, what do you do if your parents do not agree with you? Do you really try to talk with them? And if you think they are not reasonable, what then? Do you pour out your heart before the Lord? You may tell the Lord all that bothers you. And you may pray that the Lord will help your parents to understand you. But you should also ask the Lord to help you to understand your parents. And pray the Lord for grace to honor your parents and to show love and fidelity to them. And since the gap between church and society grows, we increasingly need to explain to our children why our choices are different than the world's. Our children are exposed to the modern way of living. And as mother, we need to teach our daughters about modesty and decency. And as fathers, we need to teach our sons what it means to make a covenant with your eyes. If your children do not hear from you what it means to seek God's kingdom first, then who else will teach them? If we put more interest in the dainties of the world than in God's kingdom, then how can you expect your children will live in sobriety? And I hope that you understand that the fifth commandment is about both children and parents. In Ephesians 6 verse 1 we read, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. For this is right. This means that obedience is the will of God, period. You will not always agree with your parents. You don't have to, as long as you obey them. This does not mean that your parents are free to behave as dictators. You may ask why they want you to do certain things and why not. And you may ask for reason and understanding, which is not the same as having an endless argument. We should always seek to converse in the spirit of meekness and love. That is better than to talk with others about the so-called stupid and old-fashioned ideas of your parents. That is the opposite to what we should do. We should bear with their weaknesses and infirmities. This means that after a reasonable conversation, you have to respect the opinion of your parents. Maybe you don't like this comment, but please don't forget that it pleases God to govern you by your parents. Our attitude toward our parents is an exercise of patience and humility. And there's grace with the Lord. He is the great high priest who has compassion with our weaknesses. And he knows what it means to be patient. No child ever saw so clearly the weaknesses of his parents as the Lord Jesus did, since he was without sin. And he was reproved by his mother when he was in the house of his heavenly Father. And with respect and love and honor, he answered Mary, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And then, what happened then? Did the Lord Jesus stay in the temple since he belonged there? No, he didn't. He did not reject the admonition of his mother. As the sinless child, he submitted himself to the authority of Joseph and Mary. He patiently bore their weaknesses and infirmities. Since we read in Luke chapter 2, verse 51, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them." He was subject unto them. The Lord of Lords and King of Kings showed perfect obedience to his earthly parents. What a miracle. He accepted their authority as from God given, even when they failed with their upbringing. Punishment is also part of the upbringing of the children, since our children are no angels. We have to chastise them, says Scripture. We should never punish our children in anger, but with love. This means, for instance, that a parent needs to count till 10 and sometimes till 20 when a child misbehaves. He has to bridle his temper. And the parent who does not punish his child when needed is raising his child without love. You fall short to your responsibility if you accept disobedience from your child. Proverbs 13, verse 24 says that he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. As a result of sin, we need to be chastised. Otherwise, disobedience will become worse. To punish a child is sad, but to punish not is bad. Eli is a shocking example. He admonished his two sons when he heard about the temple prostitution they maintained. And Eli has suffered from the sinful behavior of his sons, but he did not stand up against them. He did not restrain them. He did not punish them, even though he was the high priest. He could have discharged them from the office. That is what he should have done, but he didn't. And the consequences were terrible. His children were condemned. And Eli broke his neck about this literally. Punishing children is not pleasant. If it is well, both parent and child are sad. but it's necessary. Just like God's chastisements are necessary. They are for the well-being of His people. And the Apostle says in Hebrews 12, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And God's child will say afterward, I will praise thee that thou wast angry with me. It is by grace if this is our confession. It is grace if you can say it is to my good. God has afflicted me in faithfulness, since the Lord has no pleasure in my damnation. He chastised me for my good. It's also for the good of your children if you punish them when necessary. And if it is well, you will feel the pain of the punishment as well, since you love your children. But allow me to say something more about parents and others in authority. In Scripture we find instruction for them in relation to the fifth commandment. In Ephesians 6, Paul addresses children and servants, but also parents and masters. In verse 2 we read, honor thy father and mother. They both are the parents. They are a twofold unity. However, parents make it difficult for their children if they do not form a unity in their upbringing. If a father and mother express different opinions, then it is almost impossible for a child to honor both parents. In the worst case, parents discuss the upbringing of the children in their presence. This can happen when there is tension in a marriage, or when we talk with a child about the behavior of the spouse. This is disastrous for the authority of one of the spouses. You disrespect a spouse if you reason with your child. Your mom, your dad says this, but I don't agree. It is of utmost importance that parents seek to express the same opinion, even if they don't fully agree. And don't display your disagreement, but support the other spouse. This is in accordance with the fifth commandment. Do you notice the importance of conversations about the upbringing of the children? It's most important that you bend your knees and pray the Lord for love, strength, and wisdom. And the things I just mentioned are also applicable to teachers and office bearers. How do you talk about those who are in authority? Show you fidelity to them, even when you doubt whether they do right? Show love and respect to them. And teach your children that we should honor those who are in authority. You undermine their authority if you dump on them or speak disrespectfully about them. Another aspect that Paul mentions in Ephesians 6 is that we should not provoke our children to wrath. What does this mean? Well, it means that the father should be a true father, and the mother should be a true mother. This means that you should always surround your child with love, care, and tenderness. Be not harsh against your child without love. You provoke your child to wrath if you always complain about and criticize him or her. All he or she does is not good enough. You always know better. You hardly compliment your child. Your comments are discouraging. You make your child despondent. By doing so, our children get a negative self-esteem. Examine yourself. What is the atmosphere at home? Do your children sense that you try to seek the best for them? Do they feel that they are loved, appreciated, and unique? We also provoke a child to wrath if we abuse a child, or if you force a child to do things which are not in accordance to God's word. No one knows about it. And you threaten with the worst threats if he or she tells the secret. You can use physical or mental violence against the child. You misuse your authority. And if you are trapped in this sin, then I admonish you to please ask for help. Talk to a counselor, or to an elder, or to me. It is for the good of yourself and for your child. You will understand that we cannot go into details, but I hope and pray that you will seek help if things have grown crooked. But let us close with the question, what is the purpose of the fifth commandment? Well, the purpose is our salvation. As parents, you should seek to raise your children in the fear of the Lord. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This should be the core of their upbringing. In Deuteronomy 6, God gives a summary of the commandments. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thine might. And after this, the Lord continues with the admonishment, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And after this, the Lord says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Here we find the purpose of our upbringing. But as parents, you knew this already, of course. Because you stood at the font with your child and you have taken the vow that this will be the first thing you seek for your child. Do you still seek to fulfill this vow? For this reason, you send them to Sunday school and catechism class. Therefore, you cannot send them to a public school, but you want them to be taught in the truths of God's word. And I hope you do more than this. More? What do you mean? Well, you should not only let your children be taught, but you need to teach them as well. When was the last time you talk with your children about the service of the Lord? Do you read the Bible with your children? Do you pray for and with them? Do your children know that their souls are more important for us than their school performance? The spiritual education of our children is first of all a task of parents. This does not exclude other teachers, but we should not leave the upbringing in the fear of the Lord to teachers only. And when we are called to raise children, we should do it as instructed in Deuteronomy 6. God's word needs to be in the hearts of parents. And they are called to be an example to their children. And the most common manner by which the Lord works in the hearts of children is by the education of God-fearing parents. No, this is not a guarantee. We depend on the work of the Spirit, but it pleases the Lord to use this people as an instrument in the hand, in His hand, to raise the children. I don't know what you feel right now, but I hope you feel the urgency of confessing your shortcomings before the Lord. And you admit, my child, my children have to bear with much weakness and infirmity since I see my many shortcomings. And children, your parents are weak and feeble, and they fall short in your upbringing. What a blessing if this becomes a mutual confession between parents, but also between parents and children. What a blessing if you can bend your knees as a family, confessing your sins. As parents and children, we need to live in dependence on the Lord. This is necessary for yourself and for the family. We all have to bow our head before the Lord. We all are guilty of committing sin against the fifth commandment. What do we need? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has shed His blood for disobedient children and unfaithful parents. He has shed His blood for the sins of those who are in authority. The Lord Jesus has perfectly obeyed the fifth commandment as mediator, and He submitted Himself under the teaching of weak and sinful rabbis. He has always paid tax, He always obeyed the government, and He highly honored His parents. He did it willingly and perfectly. He did it out of love for His Father's justice and for lost sinners. In the Garden of Gethsemane, He has wrestled to obey His Father's commandment. His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood. He put so much effort in fulfilling His Father's demand, and He obeyed till the end. Not my will, but thine be done. The love commandment was determinative for His relationship with all those who were in authority, and He willingly submitted Himself to them. He obeyed His Father till the cross on Golgotha. And He has satisfied God's wrath against all sin. This comprises also the sins against the fifth commandment. And at the cross on Golgotha, you find forgiveness of sin, but also healing. Many of us suffer from broken relationships in families. Many have to bear a cross that is related to the fifth commandment. With the Lord Jesus is grace, wisdom, and strength, so that you will experience His consolation in truth, His consolation in truth. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And the Holy Spirit teaches you to obey all the commandments in principle. And His teaching provokes desire for the perfect harmony, which will become reality when the Lord comes again in the clouds. And at the cross on Golgotha, you find healing and forgiveness of sin. Look to Him who was keeping the fifth commandment while He suffered hellish agony. He had compassion on His mother who cried. And He took care of His mother from the cross when He said, "Woman, behold thy son." And to John He said, "Behold thy mother." The Lord Jesus points Mary to John as the one who will take care for her like a son for his mother. And he instructs John to take care for his mother. What a tender love. In his last hour, he took care of Mary. You see, the Lord Jesus is a perfect Savior, both for parents and children. And we need to look to Him and to beseech Him that He will teach us to show all honor, love, and fidelity to those who are in authority over us. Amen.